We're going to finish. There was just a few verses left that I had left in chapter 2, but the majority of tonight will be in chapter 3. And so I think where we left off was about, well, I know we got further than this, but let me start in verse 17. Let me start in verse 17 of chapter 2, if I can do that. And now this is where we start. Y'all remember I did the whole deal about standing and state and all of that. Had the two men, Drew, up there. Anyway, so let's read down to that. Verse 17, yea, Apostle Paul is writing here. And if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Now, I've already commented on all this stuff, so I'm reading down to where I want to go. But notice the emphasis, the key phrases, joy, rejoice. Again in verse 18, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, that's Timothy, that's the guy that he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy to. Timotheus, he said, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. That's where we went into the whole standing in state thing. Now, the reason he's having to send Timothy, because obviously the Apostle Paul is in jail. And so he's having to send Timothy to check on the church of Philippi and to know their state, how they were doing, all that kind of thing. Verse number 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now, there's that word again, state. We went over the standing in the state, and I don't have time to do that again tonight. But he said in verse 20, he says, for I have no man like-minded that thinks like I do, that believes like I do, that I trust enough to send to you. So I'm going to send you somebody that I trust, somebody that I've trained, somebody that I know that believes right. It's not going to lead you astray. And his name is Timothy. He's like-minded, who will naturally care for your state like I would if I was there. But I can't come because I'm in jail for preaching the gospel. So I'm going to send the next best thing, Timothy, who I trained and all of that. For all, now watch this, verse 21. For all seek their own. In other words, Paul says, most people are not like Timothy. Most people are out seeking their own stuff for what's in it for me. But the Apostle Paul says, most people seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. That's why Paul said in chapter 1, he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that's why he said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Most people naturally, especially in the lost world, it's all about me, my own. What is in it for me? But when you get saved, you pretty well leave that. Yes, you're still concerned about yourself and all that kind of stuff, but you pretty well are not concerned about yourself, but what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to have and wants you to do. Verse 22, but ye know the proof of him, that is, let me get my, but ye know the proof. In other words, Timothy, there's proof in him that as a son with the father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Now, Timothy wasn't his blood son, but Paul led Timothy to the Lord, and he was his spiritual son in the faith. You understand that. Anybody that is led to the Lord, you sort of look to that person as a spiritual father. You look up to that person. Well, then Timothy, he says, there's proof. He served with me, preached with me in the gospel, and there's proof. When I send him to you, you're going to know that he's going to care for your state. Verse number 23, him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Now, the Apostle Paul, he says, I may can come myself. I don't know. It all depends on how it goes here. It all depends on what happens at my court date. He says, I'm going to send Timothy, verse 23. him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I see how it will go with me. And then he says, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Now, I'm trusting the Lord that I can get out of here and come to you myself. But if I don't get out of here pretty soon, I'm going to send to you Timothy. He's going to watch over you and care for your state. And then in verse 25, notice what he says. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you. Now here's another guy. Not only Timothy or Timotheus, Timothy, but here's another guy, Epaphroditus. Now Epaphroditus was probably a church member at the church at Philippi. But notice what this Epaphroditus, this guy, was to Paul. Now here, now notice these five things. I've got them underlined in the verse on the screen. But there are five things that this man, Epaphroditus, was to the Apostle Paul. Every preacher, every saved person needs somebody like this. And when I say this, Epaphroditus, notice, my brother. Notice, he wasn't his real blood brother. He was his brother in the faith. That's why we say, brother so-and-so. Sister, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're saved and I'm saved, we're sons of God, we're children of God, and so we're kin to one another in the faith. You say, brother so-and-so, you know, this, that, and the other, brother Timmy, whatever, you know. And so Epaphroditus, he said, my brother and companion. So I need my brother in the faith. I've got to have a companion, somebody I can trust, somebody I can lean on, somebody that we can put each other in check. I need somebody that's a prayer partner, a companion in labor. Not only that, but a fellow soldier, somebody that can be in the trenches with me, somebody that I can fight battles with, the spiritual battles of the devil, somebody I can fight with, somebody that I can that's going to watch my back and I can watch theirs. Those are the kind of people you need in the spiritual family that we have. You need somebody that's a brother. Not only just a brother, but somebody that's a companion. Somebody that'll fight with you. Somebody that, watch this, somebody that'll take up for you in rooms that you're not in. Do we need to say that again? Somebody that will take up for you in a room that you ain't in. Somebody's going to fight for you. Somebody's going to have your back. A fellow soldier. Epaphroditus was that to Paul. But, he says, Epaphroditus, Church of Philippi, he's your messenger. He's your messenger. Now, and also not only your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. In other words, Paul is, by the time Philippians gets here, Paul is getting on up in age. Well, he needs somebody to help him. Yes, he's in prison, but Paul had the leeway to have somebody like Luke, the physician, Epaphroditus, people like Timothy that could watch after Paul, get him things that he needed, help him along the way because of his age and all of this kind of stuff. And so this Epaphroditus, those are the five, my brother, companion, fellow soldier, your messenger, and a minister. Unto you need somebody like that in your life with those characteristics. Now, watch it. Verse number, let's see. let's continue reading right here. Verse 26. For he, that's Epaphroditus, longed after you all. In other words, you people at the church of Philippi, that's where he come from. He's been with me, but he wants in here in Rome, but he wants to get back over there to y'all. He's longed after y'all and was full of heaviness. Why was Epaphroditus full of heaviness? Because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Epaphroditus is here in Rome with Paul, helping him, being his brother, his companion, his fellow soldier, his minister to his needs, his wants, all that kind of stuff. And the church at Philippi had heard that Epaphroditus, their minister, their messenger, was sick. And they were worried about him, and Epaphroditus was worried about them worrying about him. and he was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Now, y'all are thinking, oh, okay, he was sick. Okay, now watch. Let's. Now, you have to understand, I read something today talking about how news traveled. When Abraham Lincoln got elected president, and I forgot, 18, what was it? Anyway, it took, I can't remember, 2 weeks, 3 weeks for that information. He had already been elected president, and he's been president for 2 or 3 weeks before California ever found out about it. So, in other words, this is way before that. There's not Facebook and telegrams and telephones and all of that. So you have to understand that you have to put yourself where they heard he was sick. He was probably over it by then, by the time they heard it, you see. And so all of this kind of stuff. Now, let's find out. Epaphroditus. You'll find him again in chapter 4 and verse 18. And this is what it says. But I, Paul, have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, church at Philippi, an odor of sweet smell, got him some perfume, some cologne, a sacrifice. I don't know what that was. Anyway, it was something that Paul needed. Why I'm pointing this verse out is because it goes along with what I just said about Epaphroditus. He ministered unto my wants and my needs. And so we find here in chapter 4 that here's some of the stuff that he brought from the church of Philippi to Paul was some of this stuff, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So that goes along with that. Now, let's get back to Epaphroditus being sick. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. So it wasn't just he had the sniffles. He was sick and almost died from it. But God had mercy on him. God had mercy on Epaphroditus, and not on him only, but on me, Paul, also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. You don't understand how much I depend on him. God had mercy on him by not taking him and leaving him here with me, and he had mercy on me for not taking him because he knows how much I need him. Sorrow upon sorrow. I, Paul, sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice. Why would y'all rejoice? Church Philippi, why are y'all going to rejoice? When I send him to y'all and he gets there and he's well, he's been sick, almost died. When he gets to y'all, y'all can rejoice because he's not sick anymore and he's doing well. And that I may be the less, the less sorrowful, there we go, receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Now, you have to, well, let me read the next verse and let me comment on it. Because why are you, Church of Philippi, why do you need to hold Epaphroditus in such a reputation? Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, y'all need to hold him in high because instead of thinking of himself, he put himself in death's door just so he could help me be a fellow soldier, a companion, a brother, to minister to my needs, and he almost died serving the Lord. Now, most people are not going to put themselves in a situation where they're going to die for the Lord. Epaphroditus did. He said, y'all need to hold him up such a reputation. Now, let me point something out before we go to chapter 3. Notice that Epaphroditus was sick unto death, almost died. Okay? Y'all see that? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, Erastus, now I ain't got time to tell you who Erastus is, it's just another of one of Paul's companions, abode at Corinth, that's where he lived, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus, it's a town, he left Trophimus, Paul had to leave Trophimus at a place called Miletus because he was sick. Now, here's my point. I'm just going to draw this point because you need to. This is what we call rightly dividing the Bible. Watch this. Y'all see the book of Acts right here? Got 28 chapters. Acts 1 all the way to 28. During those Acts 28 chapters, these books in red were written. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Those books that Paul wrote in red during the Acts period. During the Acts period, the Apostle Paul, notice, Apostle Paul, means that he had the apostolic signs and miracles and wonders. That means the Apostle Paul could heal somebody like he did in several places in the book of Acts. Matter of fact, y'all remember in Acts 27, a snake came out, bit him on the hand, a viper that he should have died from, and the Apostle Paul just slung the beast off in the fire and never was harmed by it because he had the gift of healing. Stay with me. Paul healed. And what was the Eutychus? Eutychus fell out the window while Paul was preaching. Second story. Eutychus fell out the window, fell down, broke his neck, died. Paul went out there, raised a man from the dead. That's pretty powerful. That happened in the book of Acts. This is what I'm trying to show you. Now listen to me. Internet, pull up real close. There are no apostles today. There are none. Listen to me real good. And if you won't try me on it, I got 30 minutes that I got the verses. There are no apostles today. There are no apostles today, and there's not a man breathing today. Listen to me real close. Not a man living today. That if a man fell out the church window and broke his neck and died, there is not a preacher living today that could walk out there and raise that man from the dead. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, and this is where all my friends pull. Oh, God's the same yesterday and day forever. Well, hallelujah, that is true. But he don't deal with people the same all throughout time. And so in the book of Acts, we'll say it again because you need to get it down. The book of Acts, Paul had the apostolic gifts. He could raise Eutychus from the dead in the book of Acts when he fell out the window and broke his neck. Paul in Acts 27, snake bit his hand. No problem. Didn't die from it. But then, watch. After you get past the book of, or chapter 28, get it and get it well. Paul wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. He wrote those books right there in blue from a prison cell in Rome. And by the time Acts 28 is over, the apostolic gifts have ceased. You say, preacher, can you prove it? Why, sure, I just did. Where do we read? Philippians. Where are we in Philippians? We're in chapter 3 or 2. Epaphroditus is sick unto death. Why didn't Paul heal him? Paul raised Eutychus from the dead in Acts. Now you've got somebody that you're going to be sorrow upon sorrow if God takes him, takes his life, and he's sick unto death. Paul, why don't you just heal your old buddy? He can't. Give you another one. 2 Timothy 4, where are we at? Let's see where we at. 2 Timothy, are we in blue right here? That's after Acts 28. 2 Timothy, another one of Paul's buddies. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trimophius, whatever his name is, whoever he was sick. Paul, in 2 Timothy, why didn't you just heal your old buddy? Like you did in Acts. He can't. You understand? the apostolic signs of the Acts period, it tapers off, and by the time you get to 28, it quits. That means I can't heal anybody. I can't raise anybody from the dead. And you don't know nobody that can either. Now, you say, well, God's power. Yes, God can do it if he wants to. I can't. Amen. All these crazy preachers. Listen, this, you say, why are you getting all red on the cut? Because this drives me nuts that people can't read. They want to throw Mark 16 or Martha 16. Oh, he that believeth, he's going to drink deadly poison and won't hurt him. Pick up snakes and won't. Look, you, get on YouTube. Please get on YouTube. Pull up snake handling preachers. I do it for entertainment purposes. There was a bunch in East Tennessee and Eastern Kentucky, Virginia, some of those areas over there. Snake handling churches, they get the snakes out, and here they go. And boy, one of them, the preacher had him, boy, and then they were, I mean, the music was going, and son, that snake, and boy, latched on and bit him right in the ear. And look, the preacher, everybody, you know, look, I'm not making fun. Bless the guy's heart, he ought to know how to rightly divide the Bible, or he wouldn't have been in the shape he's in. And he said, oh, no worry. I got the apostolic gifts. Well, then in 15 minutes, the dude was laid out. They done had an ambulance backed up to the church door and loaded him off, and the man almost died. Why? Because he don't know how to read. Stupid. Pure stupidity. Some of them guys, I got to get on to chapter 3. Y'all help me. Listen, them guys want to pull that stuff in front of me. Look, I tell you, if you're going to do one, do it all. Do it all. Mark 16, you can't pick and choose just the ones you want to do. You can't just pick. If you're going to do one, let's do them all. If you want to pick up a snake, help yourself. Try it. Help yourself. Knock yourself out. You want to raise the debt? Look, whatever you want to do. But listen, when I pour a glass of liquid Drano in a cup, I want you to drink it. I want you to drink it in front of the whole church. Let's see what you got. Put your money where your mouth is. Put the Drano where your mouth is. I'm going to say this again for the purposes of anybody that needs to listen that's watching this right here. During these books in the red, the apostolic gifts were still in effect. Paul still had those apostolic gifts that he could do. I've already given the examples. Raise Eutychus from the dead, snake bite, and others. There are others in the book of Acts where Paul did. You get over here to the books in blue, Epaphroditus in Philippians almost died because he was sick. Paul couldn't heal him. 2 Timothy, Trophimus almost died at the place called Miletus, sick. Why? Because Paul couldn't heal him. After Acts 28, it's over. I say this again, we're fixing to move to chapter 3. There are no apostles today. None whatsoever. If it scrolls across this TV screen, Apostle so-and-so, you might as well just cut the TV off because he's lying to you. To be an apostle, number one, first requirement, you had to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know of anybody living today that's that old. Anyway, okay, take a breath. All right, Philippians chapter 3. Now, then he goes into Philippians chapter 3. Now, before we get in Philippians chapter 3, let's do this right here. Before we get in Philippians chapter 3, the whole book of Philippians is about joy. Every chapter 1 dealt with the joy robber circumstances. Paul deals with that. And in chapter 2, the joy robber was people. Well, in chapter 3, what we're fixing to read, things are the joy robber that you have to watch out for. Chapter 4, worry is the joy robber. All right? How do you combat that? Paul gives you the remedy. In chapter 1, when circumstances rob your joy, you have to be single-minded. He says, this one thing I do. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He has a single mind. In chapter 2, when people rob your joy, then you have to have a submissive mind, submitting to Christ. Let this mind be in you, chapter 2, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's how you fix people robbing your joy. Now in chapter 3, things. When things rob your joy, then you have to have a spiritual mind. When you have a spiritual mind, things won't rob your joy. When you're joyous because you have things, when those things are gone, your joy is gone. But when your joy is in Jesus Christ, it don't matter if you have things, or they're there or they're not there. Your joy is in Jesus Christ, whether you have a new car or whether you don't. My joy is in Jesus Christ. I have a spiritual mind. My mind, my setting my affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Things of this earth. And so whether I got things or don't have things, my joy is in Him, so I'm joyous all the time. Chapter 3, finally, my brethren, notice he's talking to saved people. Paul says, brethren, finally, my brethren, here we go again, rejoice in the Lord. He said, he's done, this is like the seventh or eighth time he's already said this in two chapters. Now we done got into chapter 3, verse 1, he's already said it again, rejoice in the Lord. Now watch what he says, to write the same things to you. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous. But for you, it is safe. Now, you say, preacher, what in the world? What in the world is he talking about right here? Well, okay. I just said, Paul, this is his seventh or eighth time talking about joy, rejoice, through the whole, he's repeating himself. He's being very repetitive. Rejoice in the Lord. Two verses later, rejoice in the Lord. Be joyous. Rejoice in the Lord. This, that, and the other. He says, these same things that I'm writing unto you, to me, is not grievous. Why? But for you, it is safe. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Things, now watch this. I think Nehemiah says this. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So Paul says, when I repeat myself, it ain't because that I don't have anything else to say. Church of Philippi, if I can rejoice in the Lord from this prison cell, then you can rejoice in the Lord from your church seat, from your church pew. If I can be happy in the Lord from where I'm at, then you ought to be happy in the Lord from where you're at. He says, repeating, all right? Let me give you this right here. Here's a Coca-Cola commercial. Open a Coke. Open happiness. So you see this commercial. And what does this commercial do? This commercial don't play just once. It plays over and over and over. You're watching Andy Griffin, and you got about 10 minutes, and they're going to go to commercial. You watch Andy Griffin, they're going to go to another commercial. 10 more minutes, they're going to go to another commercial. And these, whatever commercial it is, I'm just pulling out Coke because I like Coke. But so when I get in my car and I'm driving down the road, I pass a convenience store, and what do I do? It's in my mind because it's repetitive. Paul says, I'm trying to do a commercial on you, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Be joyful in the Lord. Joy. And so Paul is trying to program them like a commercial that they can be joyous. And he says, it's safe. It's safe for you. If you drink too much Coke, it's probably not safe for you. But if you're rejoicing in the Lord, you can't be depressed. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, you can't backslide. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, it's hard to sin. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, it's hard to murmur. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, it's hard to complain. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, it's hard to have ulcers. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, it's hard to gripe. It's safe for you. It won't do you any harm. Rejoicing in the Lord won't harm you. It's safe for everybody. So what does Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord. And it'll keep you from a lot of heartache. It'll keep you from being depressed. It'll keep you from being anxious. It'll keep you from things stealing your joy to be joyous in the Lord. That's what he said. Then after that, watch this. He goes into all of that. And he says, hey, I'm repeating the same stuff. I know I am, but it's sort of like a commercial does. Commercial, repeat. They don't play the commercial one time. It's over and over and over. You know why they charge more money to have a commercial during the Super Bowl? Because a lot of people is watching it. They play it over and over and over and over again. And I'll be honest, man, I could be sitting watching a show, whatever, and here comes, and I'm not even hungry. Not even hungry. And here comes Lucky Charms commercial. Lucky Charms. Can somebody say amen on Lucky Charms? Love Lucky Charms. And that, and here they got the Lucky Charms and the little leprechaun things running around, and they got milk running, and goes to a commercial. As soon as commercial's over, I go fix my Lucky Charms. I'm not even hungry. Paul says, if I can get you that way, if I can repeat, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, when you just rejoice in the Lord because it's programmed in you. He said, that's why I'm preaching. Now then what he says, let's look what he says in verse number 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Well, what kind of dog? Four-legged dogs? Two-legged dogs. I ain't talking about four-legged dogs. Y'all better not be talking about my four-legged dog at home. Paul's talking about two-legged dogs that walks up like you and I do. He says four things to watch out for. Beware of dogs, comma, beware of evil workers, comma, beware of the conceit. Well, three things. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. I'll explain that to you in just a second. Now, you say, the dogs. What is a dog? Well, there's all kind of dogs. You got, there's a sermon. I've never preached it here, but I might sometime. And it's beware of dogs. And I go through all the dogs, well, all of them. And you got a feist dog. And all you they do is just, and they're in the church. And they just bite at your heels. They can't do much damage. They just keep up a lot of racket. You want me to preach it tonight? And then you got some dogs. You got pointers and setters. You got some that just point at other people. And then you got setters. They just set on it. Well, Brother Jeremy, we better set on that a little bit. And then 2 years later, we still setting. How am I doing right here? Should we save it for Sunday morning? Beware of dogs. You got poodle dogs. Now, poodle dogs, they'll come in, and they come in late because they poodle dogs, they want everybody to see them. Woo! Now, if you come in late, I ain't calling you a poodle dog. You know, I'm just glad you're here. All kind of dogs, Paul says, but now that I got your attention back, you compare the word dog. Revelation 22, talking about the end times. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. Talking about New Jerusalem, heaven, this, that, and the other. Watch, for without are who? That's the unsaved. Unsaved, the sorcerers and the whoremongers and the murderers and idolaters and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. and so on and so forth. Beware of dogs. Now, 2 Corinthians calls them this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. In other words, don't let that bother you. Why? Because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's how he deceived Eve. If you thought some snake, I've never seen a woman sitting there talking to a snake. Most women are scared of snakes. I'm scared of snakes. He didn't slither in there like a snake. He was a beautiful creature that she was felt comfortable talking to. He transformed himself into the angel of light. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's who he's talking about. Now, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers, false prophets, those that are, and they're out there, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to beware of that stuff. And then he says the concision. Now you say, what in the world is the concision? Well, the concision are those, they're Judaizers, what they call Judaizers. They're Jewish people that are trying to tell you that you have to keep the law to get saved and you have to keep the law to stay saved. You still have them today, and they're not Jewish. But they'll tell you, you got to do this, this, and this to get saved. And you have to do this, this, and this, and this to stay saved. And if you don't do this, this, and this, you're gonna lose what you got. And you have to do this, this, and this to get it back. It's Judaizers. Beware of the concision. Judaizers. You say, Brother Jeremy, you got proof? Well, yeah, I do. I do. Acts 15. Here's some Judaizers right here. And certain men which come down from Judea, Judaizers, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be what? You got to do this, this, and this, and this to be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, if it wasn't small, it was real big. It was a big problem. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and so on and so forth and certain other men should go up to Jerusalem and the apostles and elders about this question. In other words, Paul had to go down and straighten them out because they said you got to do this, this, and this to get saved. You have to do this, this, and this to stay saved. And Paul says, that ain't right. He went to Jerusalem and confronted them about it. Paul says in Philippians, beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. The concision, a group of people. And let's see what he said. Let's go back to verse 3. Let me get down to verse 3, and that's probably about as far as we can go, probably. Beware of dogs, verse 2. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. There's three things of the unsaved. Then, watch, there are three things of the saved, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, number 1, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, let me deal with this right here, verse 3. And that's probably, that'll be probably about all because this is going to take me just a second. Notice verse 3. We are. He's talking to the church at Philippi. They're a bunch of Gentiles. He says, we are the circumcision. Now, he's not talking about, he didn't call them Jews, because most of them were Gentiles. We are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit, John 4 and 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And rejoice, there's a word again, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, let me deal with this right here. Real quick, all of us. When you won't hear this in most churches, okay? But you're going to hear it tonight because this right here is what we call Wednesday night Bible study. And this is it. There is such a thing called spiritual circumcision. Now, you're thinking, what in the world is that? Okay. You say, Brother Jeremy, is that in the Bible? Yes, it is in the Bible. Colossians chapter 2. Watch what it says very carefully. Verse 10. For ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised. Watch. With the circumcision made what? Without hands. If it's not made with hands, then it's something that happens spiritually. A doctor, when you take your boy, and they do it before they leave the hospital, a doctor puts his hands, and they do that as a medical procedure. They cut away flesh, okay? Everybody with me? They cut away flesh. That is with hands. What Jesus Christ does when you get saved, he does the exact same thing, but it's a spiritual operation. Circumcision made without hands, what? In putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Who does it? Christ does it. Now watch. Let me explain it to you real quick before we go home. Because you get this right here. Y'all see this? Somebody said, we're doing target practice tonight. I've seen some of you shoot. We need to. All right. There's three people there. There's, you see that black line? Then there's a blue line. And then there's red. There's a body, there's a soul, and there's a spirit. Y'all see that? Everybody in here is body, soul, and spirit. Whether you're saved, lost, makes no difference. Everybody in here, body, soul, spirit. Now, that body, before you got saved, and if you're in the room right now and you're not saved, all body, soul, spirit is all connected together, intertwined. That means when your body sins, your soul and spirit sin. Because it's all together. Now, when you get saved by God's marvelous grace, you're complete in him, you're circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So when you get saved, ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. Okay? What happens? Jesus comes down, the Holy Spirit comes down with a knife, and he cuts away your body from your soul and spirit. Not made with hands. You didn't see it happen. You didn't feel it happen. It just automatically happened. And he takes that knife, and he cuts away, and he makes two people out of you instead of one. You with me? So he cuts away. You say, can you explain it better? I can. Y'all remember the old-timey, let me use my Jell-O. Ladies, we make Jell-O. You put it in a plastic bowl and you put it in the refrigerator and let it cool and gel. Is that what they call gel? And when you do, you can take the Jell-O when it's ready and you take that bowl, turn it upside down, the Jell-O stays in the bowl. It's stuck to the bowl, right? That's before you got saved. Your insides is stuck to the bowl. Now, if you were to take a knife and run around that Tupperware bowl with a knife and cut away the Jell-O from the bowl, the bowl is still there and the Jell-O is still in the bowl, but they're separate. Y'all with me? So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes down with a knife, the Word of God, and he cuts away your Jell-O from the Tupperware bowl. How are we doing right there? And so he makes two people out of one. There's a Jell-O. There's a Tupperware bowl. This is all of them together. All right, some of you didn't like Jell-O. I'll tell you what. Old-timey, y'all remember the old-timey ice trays? Boy, my daddy would get, man, I'm telling you, he'd get mad. He'd get so mad if he went into and pulled the freezer open and there was an empty ice tray sitting in there. I mean, he'd holler plumb across, like, Jeremy, you get ice, you're supposed to fill it back up, put it in there. So you take that ice out of that tray and it's, turn the tray upside down, the eye stays. It's stuck. It's one. So you have to take the tray and it ice pops. Some of y'all are too young for this. And the ice is still in there, but now it's unstuck. Before you crack it, that's unsaved. It's all one. But after you get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ comes down there and that ice just pops up and it's two different things instead of just one now. Okay. Y'all remember us talking last time we were together about standing in state? Old man and the new man. Y'all remember me talking about how, yes, I'm saved, but I still have problems with my Tupperware bowl. I still have trouble with my ice tray. Somebody pulls out in front of me, my Tupperware bowl just wants to just lose it. Watch. When he cuts, that's called spiritual circumcision, cutting away of the flesh and making two people out of you. Saved, ain't saved yet. You say, Brother Jeremy, I thought you were saved. I am. My Tupperware bowl, he still gets mad. He still loses his temper. Y'all don't go get a new preacher because the next one you get, same problem. He's going to lose his temper. And you too. Don't look so spiritual. You let somebody pull out in front of you and see what this Tupperware bowl does. Yeah, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. But this, you ever wonder, you say, Brother Jeremy, you got, yeah, I can prove it. You ever wondered why a saved person, we're at the funeral home, we're doing a funeral, and we say, well, they're in heaven. They are, ain't they? That's not a trick question. They are in heaven. But we look down and they're sitting in the casket. Are they in heaven or in the casket? Okay, let me show you. Joe, is it? Yes. This person dies. He's saved. This person leaves. I pulled those out like this so I could. But when you die and you're saved, this part that's been circumcised go straight to, by, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, then we take your Tupperware bowl and we plant him out in the graveyard. Y'all see that? Now my Jell-O went to heaven. My Tupperware bowl goes to the graveyard. That's my proof. You're two people. This dude is what I still have trouble. But you're thinking, all right, what happens to this guy? 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we all be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. Then it should be brought to pass, saying death, swallowed up victory, so on and so forth. So when Jesus Christ comes back at the rapture, he's going to bring your Jell-O back with you, and he's going to bring your Tupperware bowl, and he's going to change your Tupperware bowl and fashion it like unto his glorious body, and both of them are going to meet in the air, and you will be perfect and complete in him. Amen. In heaven. Everybody understand the Jell-O? That's what's called spiritual circumcision. It happens to you when you get saved. He says, ye are, talking to the church of Philippi, and y'all, if you're saved, we're the circumcision. We've been spiritually circumcised, not made with hands. That's an operation of God that happens when you get saved.